And we ask the fourth and fifth graders, thank you for being a part of this worship time together. Your Sunday school teachers are in the lobby. Fourth and fifth graders, junior high, stay in with us, high school students. And just personally, so blessed that you're here with us this morning. So blessed. And what a wonderful time to get together and to worship Jesus. And I think sometimes we have to think for just a few minutes, why are we here? Why do we come together? Is it just out of habit or is it out of obligation? I pray that it's out of love. We love the Lord, our God, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we want to learn how to better love one another with the love that he's given to us. And besides that, he has asked us to gather together. As a matter of fact, he used the terminology, do not forsake the gathering of our times together. Because when we're together, you also are ministering one to another, whether you're aware of it or not, that we are called by, in the Bible, all of us are called ministers of Jesus Christ. Amen? Not just the guy that stands up front. My name is Tom, and God's asked me to pastor his people, but I'm a servant of the Lord, just like you. And at this time, I just want to use the gift and the love that he's given to me to share with you this morning. Before we even begin, I want you to know that the Lord is here with us. And we're going to cover an area of scripture this morning that is so familiar to all of us as followers of Jesus Christ. It's foundational to our faith, very familiar, especially at Easter time, because we're talking about Christ rising from the dead. And yet, please, right now, please, along with me, don't get your mind or heart set on, I've heard it before, and I know this. Hopefully that we are familiar with it. But I believe that the Holy Spirit of God here with us right now wants to reveal to you and to me more about Jesus. He will bring some things to our hearts and minds that we maybe never considered before. And I want you to know as well that this Christian life that we're living, we live by faith, but today in this world that we live, there is overwhelming pressure and fear and anxiety, and we see what's taking place, even to our beloved Jews. And we just realize this morning, I want you to know, I believe wholeheartedly that God wants to lift whatever burden is weighing you down right now. He'll do that this morning. Amen. So let's open up the Bibles. If you have them with you, we have some Bibles up front, also in back. And so for us as a ministry, we love God's Word. We teach from God's Word. We teach through God's Word. If you need a Bible afterwards, you don't have one, or you have one, you can't find it, you just take any of these Bibles here up front or in the back as a gift, the Word of God. And so in Luke chapter 24, as we started 2 years ago in 2016, we started studying the life and ministry of Jesus, taking all four Gospels and going through them in a chronological way. And in Luke chapter 24, and in verse 1, it says, "Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone had been rolled away from the tomb. And then they went in, and they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then, as they were afraid, and they bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living amongst the dead? He's not here.' And all God's people said, 'He has risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again.' And then they remembered his words. And they returned from the tomb and they told these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, the other women, and was with them. And they told those things to the apostles, and their words seemed to them like idle tales." They did not believe them. "But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying there by themselves. He departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. So, Father in heaven, this morning, thank you for this time of worship. Thank you, Lord, for the fellowship and the prayer. Open up our hearts, Lord, to your word. This morning as well, we pray that you'd be ministering to all the Bible-believing churches, God, in our community, God, and throughout the world. And God, we pray that the kingdom of God would move forward as the word of God is being brought forward. God, we pray for our dear friends in Pittsburgh. God, comfort those who have suffered great loss, Lord. We all grieve, and help us, Lord, to draw near to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So what we're looking at, my friends, is a portion of Scripture you're all familiar with. In Matthew's Gospel, it's in chapter 28. In Mark's Gospel, it's in chapter 16. Luke 24, and in John's Gospel, chapter 20. They all bring forth the account of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the foundation for what we believe. My friends, right now, if we were to put a long chart on this side of the wall, and it listed what would be known as all the world religions or isms or philosophical spiritual directions in life, and we listed them all right here, there would only be one on this side, and it would be Christianity, because Christianity, my friends, is a relationship with God, and the leader of the Christian faith is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth. He lived a perfect life. He died on a cross. He rose again from the dead. And there isn't any other person ever who has ever lived on this earth that has ever done that. Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior of all, or he's not Lord at all. Amen. So we're here because of the great work that Jesus Christ has done. That's why we're here. Now, I don't know what's going on in everybody's heart, obviously, but I want you to know, for me, I came to a church like this. I came and I listened to Pastor Chuck Smith and others without being a believer, but in a sense, there wasn't the conviction of my own sin in my life. So I came to gatherings like this, and I came to learn and to observe and to worship. It affected my life, and God used it later to draw me to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Today, we're looking at this account. This is the most significant event account that took place in human history. Two of these things: his death on the cross and his resurrection. And, you know, we live right here in an agricultural community. We have these farm fields that are around us. But literally speaking, and I don't have it in terms of all mapped out, but I believe that if we were out here in this back area, a view from back here, that view would show us the crucifixion of Christ on the cross, and we could also look across and see his burial in the tomb. All of them were very close together. And so just to think, the two most significant events in human history happened in the same area, happened just a couple days apart from one another. So we studied that Jesus Christ died in a tomb. Can you imagine that? The women that were there at the tomb, we see in chapter 24 and verse 1, we're getting an account, and this account is on the first day of the week, which would be Sunday. And so they were there at the cross. These women were at the cross of Christ when he was dying. We know John the Apostle was there, but all the other disciples had left. So let's just get a quick view of what's happening here. There they were, and then Christ died. A spear was put into him. Blood and water poured out. He was dead. And they asked Pilate for permission to be able to take the body down. Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, they had the blessed privilege of handling the literal body of Jesus Christ, putting it in a tomb that they had purchased and never been used before. And the women in the distance, they saw all of this. So they were there at the cross, but they saw right where Christ was buried. When they buried him, they had probably around 100 pounds, it says, of spices. And then they wrapped him with the cloth. They put him in the tomb. And then there was this huge rock that was put in the opening of the tomb to secure it. Some people in the Bible commentary sections tell us that that stone in front of the tomb may have weighed a couple of tons. So it's a very large stone. So that's there. That's Friday at sunset. And now Saturday is the Sabbath, the worship. And I imagine these women are just thinking about what they want to do. That they want to go back to that tomb. That they want to finish or bring some additional spices. Remember, when somebody dies, there's the death, there's the smell, and bringing spices and just pouring their love upon Jesus. Remember, in the Gospels, there was a woman who literally poured out that fragrant perfume, an act of worship upon Jesus, and the fragrance filled the house, and that is remembered to this day. These women want to do that. These women have been preparing these spices. So in my mind, I'm thinking that that Saturday was a very sleepless night, if at all. They were looking for the sun to rise. Remember, they didn't have street lights or electricity or things like that. So when the sun was going to rise, they would have already been on their way. As soon as there's some light on that Sunday morning, they're on their way. They're headed to the tomb with one thing in mind, and that is to take these spices and bestow that upon Jesus Christ. But however, on their way, there was a problem. And they're on their way. They're on the way to the tomb. But they realize that there's an obstacle. There's an obstacle that's beyond their capacity at all. But it didn't stop them. Because listen now, our first little applicational thought. Because they wanted to be with the body of Christ. Listen, because they wanted to be with the body of Christ. I pray that for us as believers, we would understand how important it is to be with the body of Christ. Because I'm going to tell you right now, there's never obstacles on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. But on Sunday, there is. There's always obstacles on Sunday as far as coming to church. It never happens on any other day. It's a spiritual battle. But these women went knowing that there is an insurmountable, immovable obstacle on their way, but they're headed there because they love Jesus and they want to be with the body of Christ. And they want to bestow upon the body of Christ their love and the fragrance, the perfumes. They want to do that. There they are, on their way. And it's interesting because as they're on their way, and you find these in the other accounts, but as they're on their way, as they're getting close to the tomb, all of a sudden they see the stone has been moved. It's moved away completely. Application number two. Right now in your life and in my life, there are obstacles and there are overwhelming concerns for all of us. If not, talk to me afterwards, and I want to enter your world. Because the world I live in, there are always overwhelming obstacles and concerns and things like that. And what happens, unfortunately for me, I will get overwhelmed. I will worry. I'll get anxious. I don't know about you. But then I read the scripture in Matthew and other places, do not worry about everything, anything, but in everything with prayer and supplication. And I say, well, why pray when I could worry? And the Lord goes, no, you need to pray. You need to bring these to him. So listen, here's the application right now for us, okay? You ready for this? Here it is. These women, they got up and they went knowing of the worry, of the concerns, and of the weightiness and the things they were facing. Agree? There's no possible way that they could resolve it. They didn't say on the way, I have to do this. They didn't say on the way, where are those disciples? The ones that fled, where are they? They didn't say that at all. They said, who is going to remove the stone? And the who is he, and the he is him who rose from the dead. I want to say this right now, that the concerns of life are going to continue on, but I would say that right now we need to make a personal decision. We need to move in the direction that God has called us. We know that that exists, but I want to say confidently to each of you, and the Spirit say it to myself, that God's got it in control. And I would say that for most of us, when we finally arrive at the situation that we were worrying about, we were concerned about, we didn't know how it was going to work out, nothing but a big stone in front of us, when we finally got there, we saw it was removed. We saw, actually, Christ took care of it. Christ went before us. And he promises to do that. He promises to go before us because he knows you. He knows everything about you. He knows your future. He knows what you're thinking about right now. Don't tell me. It's okay. But he knows everything that's going on in your life. And he wants us to move towards him. Move towards him. And when you get to that place, you will see that Christ has gone ahead of you. He's working it out. He's not setting you up for failure. He doesn't hate you. He loves you. He cares about you. So when they're going there, they saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb, and they went in verse 3, and they didn't find the body of Jesus. And I was just thinking, and I was listing down what this time period of emotions must have been like for these women. There was, in these days, there was anxiety, and then there was courage. There was uncertainty, but there was obedience. There was faith and wonder and astonishment, but then there was confusion and frustration, breathlessness, fear. And then with those angels there, it says they were greatly perplexed at this. They saw those two men that were there, and it tells us as they were afraid, they bowed their faces to the earth. They probably thought, it's over. They killed Jesus, put him on a cross on Friday. And here we are in this whole situation. Can you understand? Can you get the pulse? Can you get the feeling of what is going on? And so these women right here experiencing that and wondering, okay, this obstacle is before. It's the who. Who's going to remove the stone? God loves you. He's the one that's there. He's the one that removed that stone. God's working in your life right now. And I know you wish you had the answers to some of the things that are troubling you, they're working you over. It's hard. You don't know. You're wondering. You're perplexed. But he's with you. I can say confidently from God's word, he's with you. I can say he's working it all out. He's working it all out. He's going to show you when you get there, so don't go back. These women didn't go back to the house. They didn't go back and wait until we got it all worked out and got it all done. They didn't say, I'm going to do this. They didn't come up with a plan. They said, who? Which is he? And the he is him. And the him is Jesus Christ. And he wants to do that. He wants to do that. Right now, will you give him that obstacle, that weight, that stone? Will you give it to him? Will you say, Lord, please, it's beyond me. It's crushing me right now. And Jesus says, I don't want that weight, that heavy stone to crush you. I want you to fall on me. I'm the rock. Fall on me. Fall on me. Fall on Jesus. He is the rock. So here they are. They're in this tomb. They see that Jesus isn't there. The garments that he was wrapped within are all lying there in the other Gospels that it tells us. But the question is, why do you seek the living amongst the dead? That's such an important question. That question is asked today and needs to be answered. It's a great question. When Halloween is coming up this week, why do you seek the living amongst the dead? Our life, our faith is in a living God. He is alive. He's alive. He's here with us through his Holy Spirit. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. They wanted to be with the body of Christ. I'm saying, believers, family, body of Christ. Quit making excuses for not being with the body of Christ. It's God's call. It's God's work. Just like they literally wanted to be with the body of Christ, this is the body of Christ, and Christ is the head of the church. And to be together as the top priority in your life is what would honor the Lord. You say, well, I would, but your church here, Pastor, it's dead, and your messages stink. Okay. That's okay. So, you know what? Jesus was dead in the tomb. His body, he was dead. And they're bringing spices because there was a stink that was there. I'm telling you, when we get together with the body of Christ, like right now, God is here with us. God is here. His word. He honors those that honor his word. We don't make up messages. We go through and ask God as we bring forth his word and to teach and to bring it forth and to honor him. It's his word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word won't. It's eternal. So we love God and we love his word. And as we move there, as those women went there, they went there with spices. Beautiful smelling spices. The body of Christ is alive because Jesus Christ is alive. And the body of Christ has a sweet smelling aroma that comes from your life and your love for Jesus. The fragrance of your love for Jesus permeates this room, our fellowship, your life, and your family, and your walk with Jesus. It's a priority. And it was a priority to these people. Why do you seek the living amongst the dead? My dear friends over here, high school, young adults, junior high, it's tough because of cyberspace, the whole internet, the whole cyberspace, the whole world that is part of your world. I feel for you. I had enough obstacles in my life without that, and it's tough. It's really hard. Definitely, it is. So we pray for you. We love you. We believe God's working you, but it's hard. And there's stuff that you go through in your world. There's hurts, there's pains, there's emotions, there's things that are a reality of your world. We don't minimize them. We try to understand them. We care about you. There's a lot of hurt and a lot of pain that you deal with that it's hard. Like, how do I even deal with it? And many times we deal with it by escaping to cyberspace. And in that realm, it could be I feel better after I spend all night playing games or you know, creating a new identity. Or there's just ways that cyberspace you're using perhaps as medication to help a hurting heart, to deal with pain, to deal with confusion. And I try to understand that. But I believe that it's preventing us from loving Jesus, from understanding that he's the one for us. You see, it's for all of us here. These women, they went in the tomb they saw. Christ wasn't there. He was in the tomb, but he had risen from the dead. They went in that tomb and came out. Peter ran as fast as he could. John stopped. Peter went in and he saw what was there. And Peter walked out. But I think that many Christians right now, many Christians, unfortunately, were in the tomb, but we haven't walked out of that tomb experiencing the resurrected life in Christ Jesus. That we're in the tomb, we realize that Christ died and he rose again, and our salvation is based on his work for us, and we believe it and we accept it, and it's true. We're in the tomb. We see the evidence. We believe it. So it's not any doubt about belief and salvation that comes through faith in the perfect work for Christ. But we have to get out of the tomb. We have to leave the tomb. The same Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is the same Holy Spirit that will raise you right now in life, above the worry, above the fear, above the concern, and above the circumstances. Well, that's wishful thinking, Pastor. Well, it's truth. Turn with me to the right in your Bible. If you're in Luke, turn over to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8 and in verse 11. In Romans 8, 11. Here I am. I'm Pastor Tom. I'm in the tomb. I'm in the tomb that Christ rose from the dead. I'm in there. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So, in the tomb, Christ has risen from the dead. The Bible says this Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. When we receive Christ as our Savior and Lord, He sends His Holy Spirit to live within us. It says His Holy Spirit tabernacles within us, lives with us. So that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that Spirit lives in you and in me. Some of the powerful things that I saw even as a young person growing up, we called it Cape Canaveral, and I think it was Kennedy or whatever, but where our rockets are lifted off into space. And I think all of us have seen the power of one of our, rockets that take off into space, go to the moon or whatever. Can you in your mind right now, can you imagine the power, the thrust, the energy, the explosive energy raising that rocket up into the sky and you see it take off? Do you have that in your mind right now as an image? Yes, no, yes. Well, this power of the Holy Spirit's greater than that power, because this is the power that raised somebody from the dead. And that power dwells within you and within me. There was a song that some of you might be familiar with. It was written a while back, and it's not an oldie but goodies type of a song, but it's a song I think the lyrics can be helpful. It's called The Touch of the Master's Hand. And what it was is this person that wrote this song, the lyrics to this song, he was taking a situation at an auction, and an auction is where you have people bidding on something, and so they're bidding on an old violin. And he held it up with a smile, and he said, "It sure ain't much, but it's all that's left. I guess we ought to sell it too. Oh, how would you like to start the bid on this old violin? Just one more, and we'll be through." And then there was a cry, "Hey, I'll give you $1. Who'll make it two? $2. Who'll make it three? $3. Twice. Now that's a good price. Who's going to bid for me? Raise up your hand now. Don't wait any longer. The auctioneer is about to end. Who's got four? Just $1 more to bid on the old violin." Well, the air was hot and the people stood around as the sun was setting low. And from the back of the crowd, a gray-haired man came forward and he picked up the bow and he wiped the dust from the old violin. He tightened the strings and then he played out a melody. It was pure and sweet, sweeter than the angels sing. And when the music stopped, the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, he said, "What am I bid for this old violin?" He held up with a bow. Then he cried out, "Give me 1,000. Who'll make it two? 2,000. Who'll make it three? Come on, who's going to bid for me?" And the people cried, "What made the change? We don't understand." The auctioneer stopped and said with a smile, "It was the touch of the Master's hand. You know, there's many a man, woman, young people with their life out of tune, battered and scarred with sin. And he's auctioned cheap to a thankless world, much like that old violin. But then the master comes, and the old foolish crowd, they never understood the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought just by one touch of a master's hand. And that's what happened. The world wants to use you and abuse you, and then they're through with you, and you're thrown out. At one time, you're all elevated, and another time, you're underfoot. That's what the world will do. But the Lord says, no, wait a minute. Actually, I'll take you. This is what the world did to you. I'll take you at this place. I'll take you. Smashed, crumbled, wrecked, discarded. The world says, you're worth nothing. He says, oh, you're worth everything. You're worth everything. You're worth it because I gave my life for you. You gave your life to the world. I gave my life to you. So I pick you up. And what you experience at this point, it's not the condemnation of God upon you, because you already know how wretched you are. You already know what bad decisions and sin has done to your life. You don't need to be told that. You know that. What happens is, the Lord is my shepherd. He brings you close, and he holds you like you've never been held before. And he says, it's my loving kindness that's going to make a change here. It's my loving kindness that's going to lead you to repentance and restoration. It's my loving kindness. Even though I go through the valley of shadow of death, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And he has you. And it's his love. He says, I didn't come into the world to condemn you. I came to save you. And I have you finally. And you know how much I love you. And you know I've never let you go. I let you make your decisions. I never took away your free will. I tried to influence you towards godly living, but you were determined to go your way. I didn't write you off. I didn't sell you off. I loved you all the more. And I've been waiting for the day that the world is through with you, and now I can have my way with you because I always loved you, and I'm always there for you. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus said. He said, I'm the bread of life. He said, I'm the light of the world. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the vine, and you're the branches. Jesus says, I've been waiting for this relationship with you forever. Ever since you've been born, I've been wanting this relationship with you. And now I have that opportunity. You can't fix yourself. I mean, you can't pay for your sins. I mean, you can't crucify. I mean, literally, I cannot crucify myself. I can get one hand on the cross, but it's not going to work. You understand it literally, the picture? I cannot crucify myself. I cannot raise myself from the dead. I cannot forgive my own sins. I mean, that's not possible. And God does not want me or you also to live in the power of your own goodness. He doesn't want you to live in the power of your good sincerity. He doesn't want you to live under the cloud of Christian performance. He wants us to live in the power of his resurrected life. That's what he wants us to do. So we go back here to the scriptures that we're in Luke's gospel. They came to the body of Christ because they cared for the body of Christ. You'll keep coming to be around the body of Christ the more you care for the body of Christ. It's in those situations that we experience this resurrected power of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's during these times that we just experience what he has for us. Now, in our lives here, I'm I'm not necessarily the oldest in the room. I'm getting close. But I want you to know that I'm not alone with most here. Most here have lived enough of life. You've lived enough of life to realize that Jesus is enough for you. You've lived enough of life. Realize he's enough. It's him. It's him. And we've all had to go through a lot to get to that point. When you're first starting out or you got your career and you've spent a lot of time and money and whatever else, it's just like you just want to make it to the top. You want to be that success, and you don't have the understanding of what God is doing at the same time. I surely didn't. I was influenced not by the Spirit of God and the Word of God, but by ambition and by desire. God has a way. I've shared this story many times, but it's just perfect because some of you haven't heard it. And those that have heard it, you'll finish the story before I'm done. But I remember in sales, that was my career before entering the ministry about 36, 37 years ago. And I was in corporate sales and had many states that I worked in and also in Western Canada. But I was downtown Seattle. And they just had finished building the largest building down there. I think at that time, I'm trying to remember if it was called the Seafirst Bank building. But you needed to take two elevators to get to the top. It's the biggest building down there, probably Columbia Center now or something like that. And I remember working, wanting that account with the bank so bad and working hard on it and so excited about that. And I made sure on this particular day, because I knew it's either I get the business or not. So definitely the dark blue suit, the white shirt and the red tie, the leather briefcase and just the whole thing. And so going all up, being in there and realizing it's coming my way. This is great. So as a guy that's going to be purchasing from the bank, this, and it'll be a new account, it'll be a big account. I was just thinking about how important I'm going to be when I get back to the office or the next sales meeting or whatever else. I mean, I already figured it all out. And in my mind, as I'm just smiling, I'm figuring the commission from this as well. I'm just, my mind goes everywhere. It's a good business. I was just thinking, I was so good. And then I got up to say goodbye, shook his hand, and as I went to get my leather briefcase, my total pants and back all ripped out in the back. And it was loud. And I had to say, it's a rip in the pants. I remember getting in the elevator, and normally you just walk proud with a brief, especially leather briefcase, you hold it out. But I had to put it behind, and it looked really strange, walking out. And it's interesting, it was such a long ride down. And I just remember the Lord saying to me, just in my heart, how's it feel, big shot? How's it feel? You owned it, man. You wanted it. I gave it to you. And he'll do that. He's so gracious. He goes, you wanted it? You got it. But you got the full meal deal, too. I mean, you got everything here. And it's things like that. I wish I could say it was just only that. I have so many foolish mistakes. I heard my wife laughing already. She probably was going to say so many, 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 many foolish things and regrettable things and things I wish I wouldn't have done and or not said or whatever. But as you go through life, sometimes I can't think of the word I'm trying to say, travail. What is it when you ski back and forth?
Traverse.
Traverse. I like traverse better. When you traverse through life, thank you. I got my Encyclopedia Britannica right here. When you traverse through life, I mean, God's for me in that, and he's for you right now. We just have to really, he's working. He has this old violin in his hand, and I'm sorry, but he's got to do some fine tuning before he can make the melody that's going to be a blessing to other people. Sometimes those strings feel a little bit tight. Loosen it up, Lord, a little. but you realize that you've lived enough of life that he's enough. These women that came to the tomb, God bless them, they realized he's enough. And they went back and they told those that were going to be the leaders in the church. And they said, you're crazy. What are you talking about? It's not true. It didn't change them because they had lived enough and experienced enough to know that Jesus was enough for him. So what is that? What is that big stone? What is that obstacle that is before you right now? It's immovable because you've tried. I would suggest that perhaps the Lord just wants us to surrender things to him today. To say, Lord, you'll take care of it. The Lord fights our battles for us. He'll take care of it. He's already taking care of it. The first word that he spoke to these women when he rose from the dead was one word only. It's in Matthew. It's rejoice. That's it. It's rejoice. That's what he said. Two words after that, fear not. Rejoice, fear not. And then the next brief sentence is three words. Go and tell. Rejoice. What do you have to rejoice about? He rose from the dead? Yes. That same power lives within you today. He's not going to ask you to do anything that he won't give you the power to do. He rose from the dead, therefore your inheritance in heaven is guaranteed and it's certain and it's done and it's completed. He rose from the dead, therefore your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life and it's there. He rose from the dead, therefore there's a high priest at the throne of God who's always making intercession for you, always, every day, every time, always for you and for me, because he rose from the dead. He rose from the dead, therefore I do not fear, because there is no judgment or wrath of God upon us. He's given us everlasting life, because he rose from the dead. The significance of him rising from the dead, it means everything. It means that Jesus is God. He's full deity. It means his scripture is true. It's everything. It's everything. Is Jesus enough for you? Let's stand. The worship team's going to come up, and I've asked a couple of couples to come over and be available for prayer. What we're going to do here at the end is just have two worship songs. And during these worship songs, there's an opportunity for prayer. You can say, I can pray right where I'm at, and you know what? You certainly can, and please pray in your heart to God. But sometimes it's helpful, and we can have our prayer people up here. So Sean and Delicia, Victor and Suzanne praying up over here. So they'll be up there. So during these two worship songs, before we conclude our service, it gives us a chance just to, in our hearts, meditate upon the Lord, thanking God, letting him speak to us. This may be, you know, after our service, this may be the only quiet moment you have for the rest of the day. But perhaps you may want to come for prayer. Maybe you want somebody just to pray. Say, you know what, I've been bearing this for a long time. Please pray with me. I just want to bring this to the Lord. Or if you want to learn about following Jesus, having that relationship, being right with him, you can do that too. So let's worship the Lord for these two songs, Prayers Available.